everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Now, my guest today is someone that I feel like I've been following for such a long time. In fact, I remember the moment I first heard her on a podcast. It's so weird because I literally remember walking down the street and hearing Alison talk to Luke's story. So it was just, it's fascinating that you have sort of stayed in my awareness for so long. So welcome to the podcast, Alison Charles.
Thank you so much. So good to see your face again. I'm so curious, was it the interview Luke did with me the first day that we met, like many years ago?
Yes, wow. many years ago. And it was fascinating because my kinesiologist had just got back from Hawaii from shaman training. And she was being really like, what I thought at the time, like really cagey, like I really wanted to know everything. And she was like, oh, well, it's everything's integrating. I'm still learning. And then the rock star shaman is on this podcast that I really love. And I'm like, ooh, that is, I don't believe in coincidences. So I think it really took me down that road. And you know, what's really weird. I was reflecting on this yesterday. There was something, and I think this is why it kind of stuck, is that there was something about your dynamic, the two of you. And I know it wasn't, you know, it didn't sort of kick off straight away, but I could feel that dynamic between the two of you. It was amazing.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, it was funny for both of us to hear from different people. A lot of them we had never met in person, didn't know personally, but they were DMing us separately, saying the same reflection of like, Alison, I don't know if you're single or dating anyone, but I just heard the podcast with Luke and you two should date. And so many months later, because I wasn't living in New York at the time, and then I became bi-coastal because he was based in LA. When I flew to stay with my friend Sahara, he was going to her place to be interviewed by her. And when he showed up, I stayed to say hi. And he said, you know, after our interview, I got a lot of people DMing me saying that we should date. And I got kind of quiet and I said, oh, I got the same messages. And then it got really quiet and awkward. And then we just, you know, we stayed friends for a long time. But anyways, it's funny. You were one of the many who picked up on the vibe.
Wow. I love it. You know, I love it. Like everything is energy, right? And If we can, I was listening to a podcast of yours. In fact, the first ever podcast of yours of Ceremony Circle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really talking about those subtle energies and being able to learn to really read those subtle energies, which is so important. And it's been a huge journey of mine. But what I would love to sort of kick off with is understanding a little bit about, you know, you talk about how this journey that you're on now and this teacher that you are, it kind of, in my language, kind of hit you in the face. Like you went through a big challenge and it was this removing of the veil. And I think as a person myself, like I've been through a lot of adversity and I, you know, Eckhart Tolle is someone who I think like, dude, I get that would have been hard, but just to have that happen in such a split second, that would have been amazing because I felt mine has gone on for decades. I mean, I'm free of it now, but well, most of it, we're never ever done. But I would love to hear about that moment or the transition into really starting to accept your wholeness and your purpose on this planet.
Yeah, that was definitely the biggest turning point of my life is that moment you are leading us into. So the most concise way I can describe it is that up until this divine intervention, spiritual awakening moment, which I will get to just in a little bit of time, leading up to that day and to that moment, I was someone who was always innately drawn. Like my soul always kept the spiritual, shamanic Alison alive in me through me only reading books on metaphysics and how to read palms and the healing power of colors and taking psychic courses. And I just, that was the lane that always provided a spark for me. However, that all being said, there was this bigger part of me at that time that, you know, for various fears and reasons, just didn't feel in readiness or want to allow myself to really awaken those deepest, most ancient wisdom truths inside of me. And one of the main vehicles that that I allowed myself to get kind of get entrapped in that kept me sleepwalking and kept me playing small was in a really unhealthy long-term relationship that spanned, you know, almost two decades. And so there was just a lot of codependency on my end that after my awakening, I took a lot of responsibility for. And I also saw that I had been living in a lot of denial. So I just was too scared to face my then partner's different addiction issues. And I was also too scared to face what was my greatest fear this lifetime, and that is betrayal. And there's a past life story that if we have time, I can weave that in as to that
was one.
Yeah, one of the dynamics that, you know, created that being my biggest fear this lifetime. So anyways, being in that 16 plus years, I just was suppressing my truth and also had to take responsibility in by me focusing on him and all of his quote unquote issues that allowed me to not face myself and to not face my shadows and my unhealed childhood wounds and all of the things. So there were a lot of layers and dynamics at play that created that type of cycle of insanity that I was really stuck in for a very long time. So I just try to share a few of those examples to paint the picture that I was not a very willing participant in letting myself get in alignment with my divine truth and with Great Mother Earth. So this one day, everything culminated to my ex and I were about to get together again, you know, round number whatever on the cycle of insanity. And before we were going to walk out the door, he was asleep on the couch, so I didn't want to wake him up. And I went back into my bedroom to finish getting ready before we left. And as I was walking through my bedroom, this is where the divine intervening came in. My guides activated my clairaudient ability in my right ear, and they told me to stop and turn around. And I stopped and I turned and my eyes landed directly on his phone that he had left on my bookcase in my bedroom. And I could really feel a shift of energy in the air. I know it now to have been my angels and guides and helpers in the unseen realms coming in to really support me in this veil lifting moment. And as I got to the phone, the voice spoke to me again and told me to brace myself. And then like automatic spirit writing, I did not know the code to his phone and popped in four numbers. Don't know the numbers to this day. Just pushed four, the phone opened. And that began the moment of my first shamanic cave initiation by that phone representing that cave and facing my greatest fears. And so in the phone, you know, without getting into too much detail, it just held incredibly graphic and horrendous proof of many layers and levels and degrees of betrayal. And, you know, so that was the moment that I had been denying for almost two decades. And that's why it was so catalytic and powerful. So it obliterated my egoic shell, lifted the veil that I had over my own intuition and divine truth. And it woke him up and he came, the energy woke him up. I wasn't audible in any way. I was just like in shock, to be honest, but the energy woke him. And I asked him to leave, of course, you know, asked him how he could do that to me, but I was able to stay calm because of that angelic and spiritual support. And I'll just wrap the story by sharing that, you know, I did, this is, you know, a very fine detail of the story, but for some reason it's coming through in this interview. Another scary thing I had to face was because I was seeing such graphic proof that pertained to his sex addiction, I then, you know, the first one of the first phone calls I needed to make was to a doctor because I was very scared for my own health and well-being. And so, you know, there was a lot of activating energies moving through me, and thank God, you know, my health remained intact and well somehow by the grace of God. And after I got that doctor's appointment completed, I decided to fly to Indiana where I was from. And it was during that time staying at my grandma's house that I had additional, you know, mini awakenings over the next week. Different spiritual gifts got turned on and activated. And I finally had my ultimate surrender moment by me seeing over the course of the week that I was not who I thought I was, and he wasn't who I thought he was, and all of the things, all of the illusions crumbling. So that was, you know, the week that changed my life.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate it. You know, one of the things that really jumped out at me is this word responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that for me personally, it's so incredibly powerful. I believe it's our fundamental game changer. It's the thing that if we're brave enough to take full responsibility and understand that we are the creators of the results in our life, like we can have those fundamental shifts. However, most people don't, because it's terrifying to take full responsibility. And, you know, in that moment where you were guided to look at that phone, like to take the responsibility to lean into the things that we're most afraid of, that's what I believe gives us the power to have those fundamental shifts like you had. And one of the things that has really drawn me to you and listening to your story is the bravery and the courage that you've always seemingly from the outside had to lean into your shadow, to really be like, All right, what's the next layer? What's the next piece of me that I'm having to courageously look at? And I suppose part of me kind of knows the answer, but I really want to hear this from you. Like, was that something that just turned up one day, or was it something that it's like a muscle that you have to build and be like, okay, this is going to be uncomfortable, but I want to go there. So Do you want to talk a little bit to that?
Sure. I love this category. I mean, I even recently was doing some shadow work, still a little bit in the midst of it. And you know, it still evokes like all of these years into doing it. I think it depends upon what is trying to reveal and what you're facing. That can equate to the level of discomfort or shame or embarrassment that you have to weave your way with and find your way through. So in some aspects, yes, it does get easier in the sense that you definitely learn to trust yourself. You learn to trust how you take ownership and what you should and should not take ownership of. I mean, because especially in relationships, that is perhaps, you know, at times the biggest alchemical dance is like when things are coming up and it involves two people, it really is a inner navigational skill set to be developed to, when you're in that dance, learning, you know, what is your layer, if there is a layer, what's your piece to take responsibility for, how big is that layer? And is there more than one? And then on the other person's side, you know, where do you feel their layers are at? And, you know, and how do you have those conversations? And then there's so many other elements involved too, in terms of like our archetypes. Like, you know, I did deep archetype work, and one of the ones I don't have to watch it so much anymore, but in this recent shadow work I've been in, I took a look again at the rescuer. You know, is the rescuer coming in at all? If it is it of the light and love, or is it of fear and shadow? And I mean, it's definitely no easy feat being a human, a spiritual being living on earth, especially at this time. But I have learned to trust myself. I know I can navigate anything and everything. I know that it won't always feel comfortable. I sometimes don't know. Like, I have been surprised at this most recent shadow work, how long it's persisting. I'm probably 10 days in and still weaving with the information. Do I want it to go away? Yeah, part of me does. Part of me is like, I don't want to keep examining this piece and having conversations around it. But as much as that might be creeping in, I know to trust the process, and I know the only way out is fully through. And sometimes you have to chew and crunch and have uncomfortable, many uncomfortable conversations to work your way all the way through. So it's, you know, it's, there's a lot involved, but I think a key piece, like I said, is learning that you can trust no matter what emotion, what feeling comes up in this exploration process of blind spots and shadows, that you know you can sit with it and feel it healthily, and that you can find your way fully through.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I don't know how many times in my life working with people and myself that I've just said those words, like the only way to get where you're going is through. We must go through. And ultimately, this is the opportunity we have to fully step into our greatness, you know. And I think that that's something that we have to get braver about, because, you know, even from a human design point of view, we talk about this new paradigm, this new time, this era that we're moving into. And it's a time that is completely, you know, in of our creation. So we are in this place where so many of us want to look for those mentors or those role models and be like, okay, I'll just do what they did. And that doesn't work anymore. You know, like we have to do the work on ourselves and understand who we are. And just like you do, and, you know, you are one of these people out there that's really helping us empower ourselves to trust ourselves and our own journey. On that note, like shamanism, it's something that I'm so fascinated by. As I said, like my kinesiologist has done a lot of work, a lot of training, and some of the things that she has shared have been incredibly amazing. But can you tell me a little bit about how you specifically bring it to the world and how you light it up in a way that I, like from the outside, it looks like you are really, I don't want to use the word reinvention, but it's this, and I heard this is really interesting because you've gate, I know your human design, and I know you've got the gate 47, and the way that you are looking to the past, you're really honoring, like you're one of the most integrous people I've worked with. You're so conscious of where your boundaries lie and, you know, making sure you continue to invest in that. So can you tell me a little bit about being a shaman, looking to the past and feeling the trust in yourself to create a new future, both for you and for shamanism?
Wow. I mean, it really, this question is the one that still, you know, evokes a bit of a barfy vomit, you know, orb that comes up inside of me. And I'm going to get to the answer, but I do want to reflect just for a second on what you had just shared before you asked the question. I think that it's more important than ever right now for people to take that responsibility we were talking about and to clean up their side of the street. It's imperative right now, if you are someone who has avoided looking at your blind spots, investigating if they're there, like if you're someone who's not done any blind spot or shadow work at all, pretty much a guarantee there are blind spots and shadows that really need to be faced. And I just think it's some of, if not the most important work right now that we can do collectively to birth that new consciousness and earth that you are speaking of. It's really time for people to buck up and, you know, pull their bootstraps up and to finally face themselves, because when you don't clean up your side of the road, it creates just so much fog and distortion and messy energy. And we have to take responsibility for the energy that we bring into a room. It doesn't mean that we're trying to be perfect. You know, we're all here learning at Earth School, but it's time for you to put in the work and take responsibility. So just wanted to piggyback on that a little bit.
Oh my goodness. I love it. And I'm sitting here thinking, preach, sister. I think this is so incredibly, incredibly powerful. And I mean, I'm always banging on about shadow work and that this is the most transformative work. I know for me personally, but you know, I've worked with so many people over the years, and this is always, always the work that creates those big transformations that people are, you know, they start chasing with their mind and they end up, you know, really wanting to receive with their soul. And it's the shadow work that does that. And, you know, I saw my husband resist it for years and years and years and years, even though he watched me go through it. And I remember the first time he went through this process, and it was about halfway through, and he just looked at me and said, "I don't know how you do this. Like, how do you do this?" And I'm like, "I just keep turning up. That's it." And, you know, we even joke today that we call Justin, my husband, we call him Justin 2.0, because he's like this completely different human, as we all are. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it is the magical treasure chest for sure. So I love that he acknowledged that and honored your courage and the way that you've walked through the fires. You know, once he started to do it, he really felt like, holy crap, wow, my wife is a badass. So that's amazing. So back to your other question, I'm just going to close my eyes and tune in to see what information wants to come in to answer it today. So yes, as you alluded to, it has been, oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, finding my way step by step by step on this hero's journey, shamanic path specifically, has been, I mean, hands down, the wildest ride of my life. And because of the times that we're incarnated in, and I know that I've been a shaman, mystic, sage for many lifetimes, but this one is, it's a bit of an extra doozy, and I wouldn't change it. And it's glorious and miraculous, but it is really something to do this work in this lifetime. So yeah, I mean, it's been two big parts. If I have to like break it down, biggest picture that I can, it's been, you know, this one part of really doing all I can in different ways to honor, you know, First Nations and Indigenous peoples, because while shamanism has existed on every single continent and it is a planetary practice, you know, there's Nordic shamanism and Celtic shamanism and Maori shamanism. I mean, there's Peruvian. I mean, there are shamanic traditions worldwide. And it truly is for all races, genders, ages, whatever. However, I personally do feel it's very important, even though my shamanic path does not adhere to a one earth-based lineage, to always pay homage and respect and acknowledge the first peoples of the planet to answer the call to shamanism, because it's through them that certain wisdom traditions and sacred songs and prayers and ways and most ancient truths of the planet have been able to be carried on for hundreds and thousands of years, because they had the bravery to do what you and I have been talking about, doing all of this work where you're facing oneself and connecting to the unseen realms and communing with Great Mother Earth. So there's that very important honoring piece. And then there's the other very important honoring piece of honoring the mission that I have been encoded with and assigned this lifetime, and rising up and living the calling in the exact way that I am divinely designed to. And it's funny because, you know, yes, in some ways it's a little unique because I'm a public figure as well. So a lot of the main ways in which I share about consciousness and shamanism is to the mainstream, and it's through various avenues and media. And it's to help people, especially over here in the US, remember these sacred wisdom, rituals, and truths that so many people are completely disconnected from. So there's that to some people might feel, whatever, I don't even know the word for it, non-traditional. But then there's this other side of me. I was instructed many years ago to be an educator in the space. And that was a pillar of my work that I honestly resisted, because it brings with it a massive responsibility. And, you know, and when you put yourself out there and answer these instructions, especially when you're a public figure, you just have to be so strong in your integrity and the trust in yourself. And so it's like I'm also, while there is the modern side, the way my teachings work, I'm just trying to bring people back to the most ancient true truths of what shamanism really is. Because somehow along the way, it's just been so distorted. And there's a lot of confusion around it, a lot of misconceptions, you know. And so I know I'm very clear in the divine instruction. I am right and good with God and Goddess. I am right and good with my soul. I am right and good with Great Mother Earth in holding the line and holding the space as a woman shaman and using the title of shaman. It's not something that I take lightly. It's not lost on me, the honor I have in doing this work publicly. And yet it's not really my choice.
Yeah.
You know, I personally don't care if I go to a party, a gathering, if anyone or everyone knows I'm a shaman, it doesn't matter to me. Yes, I'm honest when people ask me, you know, what do you do for work? I say I'm a shaman and an author typically. But it's not of ego. I'm simply using the medicine name I was given to use. So there's so many nuances, so many layers to all of this. And it has been a very initiatory, challenging, yet miraculous path because of all of these layers.
Yeah, I love it. And I think that the thing that really stands out for me is this piece where you're constantly invited to go deeper in trust and love and, you know, really honoring the invitations that you're given and the guidance that you're given and that you are in such integrity. And what it really shows people, I believe, is this truth that if you face your truth, if you face your ego, if you face your fears, that there's a truth waiting to be received. You know, for me, I had a really similar situation. I joke that I have resisted everything that I'm good at, you know, even human design, I resisted it and resisted it and resisted it. And that's because my mind, I had so identified with being an intellectual person that I had was not valuing the more subtle energies in me. And to be able to see someone fully step into that trust, alignment, guidance, and invitations that you receive, I believe not only the work that you're doing is helping and serving, but the being that you're being is really guiding others to trust that.
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Embodiment, I believe, is the most important thing. And, you know, embodiment to me, it's not presenting as a perfect being, because I embrace my human side as much as I embrace my shaman side, but it is about walking your talk. And I can genuinely say for years, I did an overabundance of exhaustive integrity checks from, I mean, you know, when certain challenging comments would be said about me from people who had never even met me and didn't even know me personally. For many years, I would investigate those because I wanted to ensure I'm constantly wanting to face any possibility of, is there truth in that? Are they seeing something? You know, is there something that I need to work on? And I think in doing those exhaustive integrity checks in the way that I did them for so many years, while there were many fires involved in there that I would have much preferred not be engulfed in, but it built this incredibly deep embodied sense of integrity and trust and knowingness. That is what keeps me strong. And that's what keeps me going. And that is also what allows me, if there is a scenario where my medicine is evoking or triggering or not a great tasting medicine for someone, and their reaction comes from pain body, or reactivity, and they are unable to sit with the discomfort and do exploration first. And so their reaction to the medicine is to project or try to expel some of the discomfort or anger, ancient anger that they have inside of them. Because of all the work I've done, I have gotten to a place where I am truly able to not take it personal, and I'm able to sit at my altar and send true, genuine, heart-centered blessings and prayers to that person for their liberation, for their healing of themselves and their ancestry and lineage moving forward. And to have that one piece come into embodiment is probably my greatest accomplishment this lifetime.
Yeah, I love it. And oh my goodness, I resonate. You know, I so resonate with that. That piece where, I mean, in my behavioral world, I would call that perception is projection, you know, and every opportunity that that I have, the same as you, if something is projected onto me, the first rule is not to take it personally. But the second is get curious. Just get curious. Mm-hmm. Like, is that, because if that puzzle piece came to me as a puzzle piece, you know, how do they fit together? And really understanding, you know, as we've said, like not to take it personally, see it as an opportunity or get curious about it. And what you said, and I really love this, is because it gives you the ability to hold space. And that means you can hold mm-hmm. space for people that have hugely differing opinions or that are in so much pain that they are, as you say, they're expressing all of that onto you. And for me personally, I feel really similar. I feel like I'm one of the gifts that I'm so grateful for, to be able to hold space for people in a really honest way. Because I'm not in that reactionary space and they can fully experience, because a lot of this is they need to experience it. They need to feel it. They need to have that emotion actually recognized and seen instead of being, you know, like battered back over the tennis court net or whatever it is. So I love that. I think that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say one last little thing. It was creeping in a little bit and, you know, yeah, sometimes I might think in a quote unquote ideal world, the ideal reaction would be for them to recognize their discomfort and to, you know, do their inner work before the pain body spewing, because pain body spewing oftentimes creates entanglements with other people's pain bodies. And, you know, greater growing of pain and anger on the planet is definitely the last thing we want or need. However, sometimes, you know, we never know the biggest picture of the alchemy that's trying to occur. And sometimes in some situations, it might be the first time that person has ever been able to express this rage that's been inside of them, but they didn't even truly know is in there. And so at least it gets that process, that energetic movement going for them, because you never know after they expressed, whether it was later that day or 3 days later or 10 years later, because of that expression and getting that energy moving, that can lead them to the next step they need for their liberation. So it's really, it took me a decade of working this piece to get to this place. It's not been easy, but it is possible to hold a space of true unconditional love, even for people that are in a lot of pain.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for doing that work, because, you know, the more people that can do it and can hold that space, the more people that can learn to do it as well. So, so good. I love it. Now, I want to talk a bit about this book, because I feel like for me personally, my connection to animals started really young. I'm an only child. I was very lucky, as many childhoods go. Like, I wasn't free of trauma, but compared to a lot of the trauma that's been experienced, but I was very introverted and I lived in this sort of internal world. And as I was moving through my journey as an adult, it was very mentally based in the beginning, as I did a lot of my healing. And it came, my sort of really tapping into the spiritual realm came through animals. And I didn't even realize it was happening until one day a colleague of mine said, have you ever done, you know, connected with your power animal? And I'm like, oh no, but that sounds fascinating. I'd love to have a go. And he led me on this journey. And I remember, as this, you know, in this meditation, that through this amazing panther, who I'd always been fascinated with, the Black Panther, since I was tiny, she came through and I was just like, and I'm getting goosebumps head to toe, and I was just like, wow, that's really cool. And at the same time, this freaking bunny like popped through with this panther. And I remember in that moment going, hang on a second, I want the panther, not the bunny. And it was started this really amazing fascination that I had with animals and how animals specifically lead us and teach us. And even to the point where my youngest son from a very young age has dreamt about wolves. And at first he was afraid of them. And I'm like, well, baby, I would guess that this is a power animal of yours. So if you can, like, ask it if it's got something to share with you. And he's now really connected to a lot of animals, and specifically the wolf. But what I would love to really hear about from you is, how did you first really understand the power and the connection that you had with these power animals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very early on. It was actually right after my divine intervention awakening day, after I surrendered and finally decided to get out of my own way and spoke to Great Spirit, Great Mother Earth, and my own soul and said, all right, clearly don't know what I'm doing. I am willing to heed whatever directives you have for me. The first two directives that they sent in, and by they, I mean Source, my helpers in the unseen realms, and Great Mother Earth, they showed me a shaman in Minnesota. She's a medical doctor turned shaman, Sarah Seidelman. I had her on Ceremony Circle, my podcast, recently, as like a decade circling back, you know, to from the time we first met. It was a really great chat to reflect on all of that. But anyways, I worked with her, and then I was also shown to work with my aunt, who's a shaman. And in working with my aunt, that's when the animals started to come in. So my core power animal is the Black Panther, and that animal revealed, and then three supporter allies came in, the bear, deer, and frog. And truly, I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say that those animals saved my life at that time, because my world in every regard had been turned completely upside down. I didn't know left from right. I just knew everything in me and outside of me was changing. And it was quite terrifying at times. And so these different healing attributes and medicines and teachings of these four animals just really allowed me to stay the course and to heal. And, you know, the frog really does represent healing emotions and getting into those emotional waters. And it also represents taking giant leaps of faith and leaps of faith moving forward. The frog can't leap backwards. And so that was some of the medicine that frog would work with me in. And the deer is, you know, fierce, but gentle love energy. It's the path of the heart. And so the deer would just teach me over and over again to not close my heart down, to not shut down, to keep it open, to stay in devotion to healing it, because there would be healthier, brighter days ahead on the path of love. And then the bear provided that much needed, especially at this time, grounding, stabilizing, comforting support. It would come to me in meditations, and it would sit with its back against a huge tree, and it would invite me to sit in its lap and lay my back against its chest and learn how to let go and to really trust in the support. And so they all really came in for different reasons. You know, the frog comes and goes, the bear comes and goes. The deer has really been with me my entire journey since I awakened, and the Black Panther is with me at all times as my core animal.
Oh, I just think it's fascinating. And it's just, I think I was listening to the podcast that you did with Luke on your book, on this new book that's coming out, that I just cannot wait to get my hands on. And because we're traveling, it has to go to my mum's, and I'm trying to work out, once it arrives, how do I get it to me? And so I'm so looking forward to it. But in that podcast, the way you spoke about the bear, and I just did it again, like that grounding and like him really taking that space for you, just, oh, it just gets me, and I can feel that energy of it. So what is your ultimate intention for this book? Like, people, obviously I'm a massive, and I know that you know Dr. David Hawkins, and I'm really, I love to invite knowledge and books and all sorts of things into my life because I know that they carry a consciousness. And I haven't even got this book yet, but because I've been actively listening to your podcast and listening to your story, I can feel that this is a journey. It's not just a book. Like it's kind of like the book is just the end result, but it's this beautiful journey. So I would love to understand your intention. What is it that you want people to, or how did you want them to connect? What is the purpose of this book for you?
I mean, there's a lot of different intentions that went into it and various foundations laid once the Power Animals came to me and asked me to co-create this book with them. So it's been very, very intentional and mindfully done. But what the layer that was coming in when you were asking that question is I just really intend for it to be a safe and loving living, breathing altar where people can just finally open themselves up to the mysticism and miracles and magic, both within them that's infinitely in there and outside of them, both in the seen and unseen worlds that's infinitely there, because there is just so much astounding divine power and support just in every thread and fiber of our own being and all around us. And this book, Animal Power Book, is that doorway of that very safe, sacred space to finally open yourself up to begin or deepen that exploration of who am I in full? Who am I in my most ancient? Who am I in my highest? Who am I when I am most embodied and grounded? And learning how to open up the connection point to the unseen realms as well, and learning how to hear the whispers of the wind and how to commune with these animals. It features 100 different animals, and there's a beautiful piece of embodied art for each 100 animals. And then in the information page, there are energy medicine messages that the animal relays pertaining to its healing attributes. And then there's a power practice for each one as well. And that practice is a ritual or ceremony that you can do to really take your relationship with that animal to the next level. And then, you know, things really open up for themselves from there. But it's a portal of safe space to open yourself up to the grandest version of you beyond your imagination in a nutshell.
Oh my goodness. I love that. And if you could actually ever fit that in a nutshell, right? I love it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things as you were speaking that really, that I could feel is, and I had that realization that perhaps this was my relationship. I had horses from a very young age, and you know, it's not until very recently or in the last sort of 5 years that I was like, wow, I was I was completely in conversation with them all the time. Mm-hmm. I was just constantly, whether it was in my head or out loud, you know, as an only child, the things that I did face, I cried to my horses. It was like, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of like I didn't even realize I had this relationship with the animals as much as I did. And, you know, the panther was always my favorite animal, and really starting to learn more and more about the medicine that animals have or the stories that they have to share with us, especially being Australian, and really starting to understand the Dreamtime stories of the Aboriginal people and how everything, you know, animals play such a massive role. Even this morning when I was out walking, I saw some black cockatoos, and they're just the most magnificent birds. And as I was listening to you speak, I was like, yeah, you know what? The fundamental thing for me is that we don't project our human shortcomings on animals, you know? So when we have this beautiful conversation with them, we don't feel judged, we don't feel criticized, we don't feel wrong. You know, there's this energy that the animals can fully hold space for us. And you know, I think that's for me personally something that's really been drawing me to the animals and what they have to give. Would you what do you feel about how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that that's a beautiful perspective. Let me tune in to see what else wants to come in around it. But I love that you honed in on that safe space. One second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, the layer that wafted in, is they do hold a very trusting place, because I'm reflecting back to all of the, you know, many hundreds and hundreds of shamanic journeys that I've led people or huge groups on. And even for people who have never met a shaman before or never done a, you know, spiritual, let alone shamanic ceremony, the vast, vast majority, I would say easily 90-95% plus, even if it's their first time, they are able to really let go into that journey and allow themselves to be guided into these other realms. And when we get to the place in the journey where we are finally, we're calling the animal forward and asking the animal if it has medicine to provide. So a lot of times when the medicine gets delivered, sometimes it'll come in the form of a bite or, you know, some sort of, you know, bold process. But for some reason, that trusting space that the animals provide, the participants are really able to receive and trust that they're being given a medicine that will serve their greatest good and empower them, and ask the animal questions that maybe they've been too scared to ask another person out of embarrassment or shame, because there is that part in the journey too where I just give them space to converse with the animal and ask whatever they want to ask. And so I think it does allow people to heal and expand into places that that have been dormant before working with power animals, for sure.
I love that. And I'm super conscious of your time, so I'm going to wrap things up. So I've got a couple of really quick questions. Number one, mm-hmm. Can people actually work with you to, or how do people get these guided, can people work with you in that way to have these guided journeys with you?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's very easy, actually. If you pre-order the book from my website, which is alisoncharles.com/animalpower, you do get a free video guided journey that I facilitate where we call your current power animal forward. And I was thinking about what would be the strongest gift to give people as a thank you for purchasing the book. I was like, well, you know, here we go. I will guide the journey. So yes, you can work with me in that respect. And I do occasionally do in-person live and also online events and talks. Depends on when you put this interview out, but on my website, again, alisoncharles.com/events, I list what I have coming up. I am giving a really cool talk in Las Vegas for anyone who wants to travel internationally or is in the States. It's at the world's premier psychedelic conference called Meetdelic. And I'm giving a talk there, but there are also online events as well.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. The majority of my listeners are in the States. So I reckon that'll sound pretty exciting to them. Unfortunately, those of us here in Australia, we're not going to get to it as much as I will one day. Not right now. Now we're going to put all of the details as well, because for listeners to order the book, to check out your website. So is there anything else that you would really love to share or that's coming through for you that the listeners would love to receive from you today?
Let's see what wants to come in. It's a message that persists lately. I really tune in each time and ask, you know, what they want me to share. And it's lately it has been the same message. They're pretty adamant about reiterating. And it's the importance of staying in our connection point to divine as strongly and as permanently as we can. And, you know, it might look different for every person. For me, you know, with the medicine name Rock Star Shaman, I connect into Great Mother Earth. I connect up to Star Source, Great Spirit, and the shaman part being my heart. And I operate from that vertical line and stay in my prayers and start every day at my altar. And before I even get out of bed, I'm tuning into my heart and I'm asking my heart, how are you feeling today? And just beginning my human operations from that heart space, from that connected to strongest divine alignment place. And I just think with all of the noise and social media and potential for fogginess and confusion and brainwashing and hypnotism and whatever we want to call it, because there is a heightened propensity of those elements, it's more important than ever that you trust your inner discernment and that you're moving and breathing and operating the best you can each day from that place of clear and strong divine alignment. So if that resonates, allow that to be your prayer every day and do your best to stay there every day.
Oh my goodness. I love it. I feel like my heart nearly jumped out of my chest. I'm like, yes, I can do that. Yes, I'm in. So thank you so much, Alison Charles, for taking time out to talk to me. It has just been amazing.
Oh, Emma, you're wonderful. And thank you so much. I loved having my human design being read by you, if that's even the right way of saying it. It was so insightful. And I really appreciate the way that you walk the path and who you are. So thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much. I so appreciate it. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining. I have loved having you on this episode and I so look forward to having you on the next. Bye for now.
Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.